The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
We're coming up on a year since the pandemic hit. So how far has the job market come?
We still have 9.5 million fewer jobs now than we did a year ago. So that shows tremendous progress because 22 million jobs were lost last spring. But it shows we have a very long way to go.
We'll talk about which jobs could be gone for good and where we're seeing a comeback. And where lawmakers are compromising on the COVID aid package. Plus, moviegoers in NYC and San Francisco are gearing up for reopening night. It's Friday, March 5th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The Labor Department says employers added 379,000 hires last month, and the unemployment rate fell to 6.2%. Those are the best monthly jobs numbers since last fall. On Wall Street, early trading was choppy as markets digested the better-than-expected report. But the major indexes ultimately rallied, closing out the day with gains. The Dow rose 573 points, or 1.9%. The S&P was up 1.95%, and the NASDAQ added 1.55%. Our markets reporter, Akani Otani, has more.
It seemed like the reaction to the jobs report was quite mixed. You know, we sort of veered from one end to the other all within a couple of hours. And so I think what that tells us is that there's going to be probably a significant amount of volatility in the coming weeks, especially as we get more data on things like inflation, more data on retail sales, on consumer sentiment, on spending, just because investors still haven't seem to really come to an agreement about how significant this recent shift we've been seeing in the economic data and within the bond market, how significant that'll be for the stock market.
Senators are engaged in a Votorama today, an hours-long marathon of voting on amendments to the latest coronavirus relief package. The wrangling is taking place between Democratic members. They're using a special process called reconciliation to pass the stimulus without GOP support. To get all Senate Democrats on board, they've agreed to lower federal unemployment benefits to $300 a week, down from $400, in exchange for extending them through the beginning of October. Earlier this week, they agreed to tighten the eligibility requirements for direct $1,400 checks to many Americans. Once the Senate approves the bill, it will go back to the House, which will then need to approve the altered legislation before sending it to President Biden. The U.S. and the European Union have agreed to suspend tariffs on Airbus and Boeing for 4 months in the hopes of resolving a long-running trade dispute over subsidies to the aircraft manufacturers. The two sides have also agreed to lift tariffs on billions of dollars worth of goods, including wine, luggage, and produce. Catherine Tai, who's soon expected to be confirmed as U.S. trade representative, said during her confirmation hearing last week that she wanted to accelerate talks with the EU to end the aircraft tariff dispute. And Texas's Public Utility Commission has signaled that it's unlikely to reverse $16 billion in excess charges to customers stemming from the blackouts that followed a deadly winter storm last month. An independent market monitor concluded that the state kept wholesale prices artificially high for 33 hours longer than warranted and recommended reversing the charges. The commission hasn't voted on whether to reject the recommendation, but the commission's chairman said it would be too difficult to reprice the energy markets and that doing so would involve too many uncertainties. Coming up after the break, what February's job gains could mean for the recovery over the next few months.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Nearly a year into the pandemic, the U.S. saw better than expected jobs growth in February. The hiring comes as states lift lockdown restrictions, more people receive vaccines, and consumer spending is up after a recent round of government aid to households and businesses. So, could this be a sign of a stronger recovery this spring? Joining me now to dig into the numbers is Wall Street Journal labor, economics, and policy reporter Eric Morath. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being here.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So, Eric, we are now just about a year into the pandemic, and looking at the February jobs report through that lens, what can you tell us about the progress we've made over the course of a year?
Well, I think the most important way to look at this is we still have 9.5 million fewer jobs now than we did a year ago. So that shows tremendous progress because 22 million jobs were lost last spring, but it shows we have a very long way to go, and a lot of workers aren't able to find jobs, and especially not where they previously worked.
We've also been tracking which of the job losses have become permanent. And when we talk about that 9.5 million jobs, what are economists saying about which of those may come back eventually and which are lost?
Yeah, I mean, I think this spring and into the early summer is going to be really telling about how fast those jobs could come back. We saw some positive news in the latest jobs report that there was strong growth in restaurants and other hospitality businesses. To quickly recoup more of that 9.5 million jobs that are lost, we're going to need to see that continue and that Americans are willing to go to the mall, go to the airport, go to the baseball game, the concert, and to restaurants. Because that's a place where, you know, millions upon millions worked, and there's still almost 4 million fewer jobs in that sector. So I think that's really going to be key. There's other things that I think are very much permanent changes. For example, you know, I did just mention the mall, but, you know, a lot of big mall retailers closed. I think the Amazons and moved to online shopping is a thing that's going to be a permanent and lasting shift. And so there just probably won't be the same number of retail jobs in the future, and they're going to be more e-commerce jobs.
We saw a big jump in healthcare hires last month. Can you talk about that a bit?
The healthcare sector has actually been really fascinating during the pandemic because this was the first recession that we had on record where healthcare jobs fell, which is incredible because it was a recession caused by a global health crisis. But the fact was that usually healthcare jobs are sort of recession proof. But last spring, you know, doctor's offices and dentist offices and sort of non-essential like emergency healthcare services were closed down. A lot of people had surgeries put off even. And so that caused a large, you know, in the millions loss of healthcare jobs. And we've seen a really strong comeback there, right? So certainly hospitals are almost all the way back, and we've seen their importance, obviously. Doctor's offices haven't fully returned. There's been some consolidation, doctor's office, dentist's office, things like that, but they're most of the way back. And there's some good growth recently. So I think that probably speaks to, you know, people are getting more comfortable going out and about, and they need vaccines. So that's probably a good thing there.
Now, looking at this year in, we're also still seeing an uneven recovery across different demographic groups. For Black workers, the unemployment rate increased last month, and Black Americans were also very hard hit in the last recession in 2009 and took a long time to recover from that. What are economists saying about their recovery from the pandemic?
There's some disappointment when I talk to economists today about the latest numbers for Black workers. You know, kind of the story that we've been telling for the past year is that a lot of in-person jobs have been lost. We knew Black Americans disproportionately worked in places like stores and restaurants. And therefore, you know, we hoped when those jobs started to come back, you know, the unemployment rate for Black Americans would fall. We saw the unemployment rate for Latinos fall. We saw the unemployment rate for Asians fall. We saw the unemployment rate for Blacks rise. Some economists I talked to said, you know, that speaks to these structural problems in our labor market that, you know, it took a decade for Black workers to start seeing improvement. Black workers have never been on par with white workers in terms of unemployment rates, but it took a decade to start seeing really meaningful improvements last time. And the economists are worried that discrimination and other factors mean that could be a similarly long rebound for Black workers this time.
We also have to talk about the stimulus wrangling on Capitol Hill still going on as we're speaking. Of course, we saw the impact of government stimulus in previous jobs report and how much that factored into what we saw in those reports. What are the expectations among economists like for another round of stimulus?
So I think in terms of just looking about, you know, job growth, things like, you know, ensuring small businesses have access to credit, things like stimulus checks for consumers, you know, that unequivocally in the short term will help jobs. The kind of the big question, and there's been a lot of wrangling this week on this very topic, is about enhanced unemployment benefits. We're hearing from warehouses, from factories, even some large retailers saying we need people to come back to work. Well, it's still the case that a lot of workers are, you know, able to get, you know, the equivalent of $15 or $16 an hour on unemployment benefits. If you have any concern or if you have childcare issues, that's a big incentive not to go back to work. And so that's sort of a big challenge for policymakers. Do you sort of force people to go back to work by taking away those benefits? Or do you understand that, you know, if schools aren't open and you're not vaccinated, there might be some very good reasons to say, I need to stay out of work for now?
That's Wall Street Journal labor economics and policy reporter Eric Morath. Eric, thanks so much for joining me today.
Sure. Happy to join you.
And finally, it's been a hard year for Hollywood and the theater chains that run their films. But this weekend, two of America's biggest movie markets, New York City and San Francisco, are finally reopening theaters. And Hollywood studios are also getting back to business in a bigger way. Some are moving up release dates for high-profile films, hoping more cities and states will loosen COVID-19 restrictions and that people will feel more comfortable watching on the big screen. But studios say they're going to continue to utilize one of the shifts in the pandemic, digital premieres. They're hoping for better box office results as they combine opening films in theaters and on digital streaming services at the same time. Today, Disney debuts its latest animated feature, Raya and the Last Dragon, in more than 2,000 North American theaters. It'll also be available to stream for Disney Plus subscribers. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week by Trinae Nori and Sam Westren, with help from Paolo Bossanin, Jenny Ang, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Charlie Turner, J.R. Whalen, and Chris Sinsley. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.